So the Gemara at the end of Kuf Ches Amud Beis brought a suggestion or a hanhaga that Rabbi Yehuda said that what they did for the kids was they used to give out for them kloyes and agoyes and roasted kernels and nuts on Erev Pesach in order to keep the kids awake, that they shouldn't fall asleep, and therefore we shall know that they'll be up to ask the questions by the Seder. And the Gemara continued from the second line from the top of Kuf Tes Amud Aleph, Amar Lo Rabbi Akiva, that they said about Rabbi Akiva, some are goyes over here, Rabbi Tarfin, so Yom Chalak goyes and Mekloyes, he used to do the same thing, he used to give out roasted kernels and nuts, Latinokis, Erev Pesach, to the children on Erev Pesach, and Pesach evening, in order that they shouldn't fall asleep, Yishalo, and they'll be able to ask the Manashtah. So Morris says, Tanya, Rabbi Yezer says, Choytfin Matzah Beleli Psochim, they were choyt if they would grab the Matzah on the night of Pesach, Bishul Tinaikis, for the children, Shalay Yishnu, in order that they shouldn't fall asleep. So, what is chaytiv matzah mean? What does it mean that they grab matzah? So, over here, there's a lot of different pshatim that are said in the Rishonim. Rashi first says a pshat that they used to take away the kara. I mean, they start the suda, the kara, the table's all set, and there's food there. And then after kiddush, they would remove the kara from the table to show as if the meal's over, and that will be ma'ir the kid to fall asleep. That would be the kid to ask questions. Like, what's going on? We didn't eat yet, and you're already taking away the food. But according to that pshat, so you have to take out the word shalay yishnu, because it has nothing to do with the kids falling asleep. According to this, it's just this is the way to jumpstart them to get them to start asking questions. A second pshat Rashi says is chayt matzah means you start the Suda right away. You don't delay from starting the Suda Pesach night. You have to make sure to start the Suda as soon as possible in order that the kids shouldn't fall asleep, in order that they should still be up. And that's what it means. You grab the matzah, I mean, you start the matzah, the Suda of matzah as early as possible in order that the kids should still be up and they should be able to ask the shilas, the kashas. The Rashbam brings these two pshat, and he adds a third pshat that chaytiv matzah means you withhold food from the children. I mean, you shouldn't let them eat too much earlier in the evening or in the afternoon, because food makes them tired, and if they're tired, they'll fall asleep. So you let them eat. Obviously, they're not mechuyev to fast, but you withhold food from them means you don't let them eat too much in order that they shouldn't fall asleep. These are the pshatim. Rashi says, the Rashbam says, the other pshatim, some say that this is a makar for stealing the afikomen. They are choytif the matzah. They grab away the matzah. They hide the matzahs in order that the kids should get excited about it and should wonder what's going on. And this way, they'll keep the kids from falling asleep. Tanya, Amu Lava Rabbi Kiva. They said about Rabbi Kiva, Miyamav, that in his entire days, Lo Yamar Higia Eiz Ami Beis Hamedrash. She never said it's the time to stop learning in the Beis Hamedrash. He never threw people out of the Beis Medrash and said, okay, it's not time to be learning now, you should be doing something else. Chutz mi'arvi psachim ve'arvi yom kippurim, with two exceptions, Erev Pesach and Erev Yom Kippur. Ve'arvi Pesach b'shul tinaikis k'dei shelo yishnu, on Erev Pesach, because of the kids, so they shouldn't sleep, the Erev Yom Kippurim, and on Erev Yom Kippur, the reason is k'day sheyachilu es b'nei, that they should be able to feed their children. So let's start backwards. First, Erev Yom Kippur. Since they have to fast on Yom Kippur, so there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So in order to be able to be home that and prepare the suda for his family, that his family should eat, so that's when he didn't let people learn in the Beis Medrash, so should be home available to make sure that their family eats. On Erev Pesach, so here as well, there's two ways to understand it in the Rishonim. Either it means to say Erev Pesach means Erev Pesach Mamish, and what it meant is that they should go home on Erev Pesach to make sure that their kids nap on Erev Pesach, in order that they should be up at night for the Seder. Others say that what it means is, Erev Pesach over here doesn't mean Erev Pesach in the afternoon or in the day, but rather it means towards the evening, and the reason is that they wanted them to go home fast in order that he should be able to prepare the suda and start the suda right away, because if he would learn into the night, into the evening, and then only then come home, so by the time he's going to start the Seder, it's going to take some time, and by the time then, the kids will already be tired, will already be sleepy. So, according to that pshat, he kicked people out Pesach evening from the Beis Medrash, didn't let them learn, in order that they should be home to be able to start the Seder right away, in order that the kids shouldn't fall asleep. Tana Rabbanan. Chayiv Adam b'sameach bonav u'bnei beis b'regel. A person is mechuyiv to be misameach his children and his family members on Yom Tiv because of the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tiv. She'nemar v'samachta b'chagecha. So over here, it doesn't only say that you yourself are mechuyiv in Simcha. You're mechuyiv to be misameach your family, like it says in the pasuk, v'samachta b'chagecha ato v'incha v'itecha avdecha v'amoscha v'alevi. So not only are you in charge of your own simcha, you're in charge of the simcha of all your b'nei bayis, and therefore you're mechuyev to purchase things, like we'll see in a moment what, in order to be mesameach them. So v'samach t'v'chagecha tells us that a person is chayev l'smayach bonav b'nei bayis b'regel. B'ma mesamchen, so how does he mesameach them? B'yayin. We say ein simcha ela b'yayin. So the way to be misameach them is to give them good wine to drink, and that will bring them into a simcha deka mood. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Anoshim b'roi lohem. Men, you give them what's roi for them, which is wine. Men enjoy wine, or at least they're supposed to. V'noshim b'roi lohem, and women don't enjoy wine. That's not what's roi for women. So you give women what's roi for them, which the Gemara is going to discuss and explain in a moment. Anoshim b'roi lehem, men, you give them what's right for them, which is b'yayin. You give them wine. V'noshim b'may, so how you misameach noshim? What do you give to noshim to make noshim happy? Tani Rabbi Yosef b'bavel, in bavel b'gdei tzivayim. You give them nice colored clothing, a nice new dress, a nice new set of clothing that makes them b'simcha, and that's how you're yotze being misamech them on Yom Tov. Beretz Yisrael, also, so they the style of dress was different there, but the same concept that it's through clothing. So in Babel, the type of clothing you get is bigdei tzivayim. In Eretz Yisrael, it's bigdei pishon. You buy linen clothing, miguatzim, that are nice, nice and freshly pressed. Like we know from other places in Hochas Avel and Cholamoid, we know that the giyutz process of pressing clothing to make them fresh after they're laundered, in Eretz Yisrael they were much more proficient with it. They knew how to do it much better. So a beged of pishon that's meguatz in Eretz Yisrael was enough to bring simcha in Eretz Yisrael. In Bavel, where they weren't so professional, and therefore their giyutz that they did there wasn't as good as it was in Eretz Yisrael. It was just like a regular cleaning. Therefore, that wouldn't be enough to bring simcha in Bavel, and that's why instead they needed to buy new clothing, big day tzivayim. White, nice, clean clothing wouldn't have done the job, and that's why in Bavel they needed big day tzivayim. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer. We have a brisa that says Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, "Bizman shebeis hamikdash kaim, kol zman that the beis hamikdash was standing, ein simcha la b'basar." So a man could only be yotzei his chiyuv simcha by eating basar. And it doesn't mean any basar, but rather, like we learned before, it means the basar of a carbon, dafka. And like we saw before, an added chiddush, not only is it a basar makarim, but according to some, it's basar makarim that was shechted bedafku on yomtiv. It can't even be basar makarim that was shechted from before. Because it has to be specifically through karbanas that were brought the shame, the simcha, or even if it wasn't part of the shame, the simcha was brought, even if it was a karbon that was brought for some other chay, but at least bizmana simcha, then you could be misameh with it. Even if you hold that it doesn't have to be shechted bizmana simcha, like the Gemara came out before, but al kaponim, it has to be basar of a karbon. Shenema, like it says in the pasuk, vizavachta shlomim. You shech the karbon shlomim v'achalta sham, and you eat it over there in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where the makam of the mikdash is. And that will bring you to a matzav of simcha in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we see that the ikar simcha, the ikar way to come to simcha, to be yaitz simcha, is through basar karbonas. So kol zman that the base of mikdash was kaim, the way to fulfill simcha is through the basar of karbonas. But nowadays, we're unfortunately, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So now, obviously, you're not going to say the B'yotz is simple through Basar HaKarbon because it's not Shaykh. So now, Ein Simcha L'B'yayin. Now, the way to B'yotz is simple is through wine. Like we said before, that by Anashim B'Roilem, that you give him wine to B'yotz the Chiyuv of Simcha. Shenemar. Like it says in the pasuk, how do you know yain brings the simcha? Shenema v'yain yisamach levav enosh. Now over here, first of all, a couple of things that are a little bit not clear, because even in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, we learned before that you could use wine. Like we said, if you hold that that you need zvich b'shachas simcha, so if the first day is Shabbos, for example, how are you yoytze? And we said then you're yoytze with wine. So even in the times of Beis HaMikdash, it sounds like you could use wine. From our Gemara, it sounds like that Bisman of Beis HaMikdash, you couldn't use wine, you could only use meat. And nowadays, that you don't have meat, now you could use wine.
Why is such a fetish that we're saying now that you should have wine? You've been talking about before the whole lot of places and like that.
But that was not because of Simcha, that was because of Cheres.
It's obviously that it's going to be there.
Yeah, but this isn't every Yom Tov. Let's say not after Pesach. Let's say the last days of Pesach or Sukkot. This is to do with Simchas Yom Tov. It's every Yom Tov. Right. So that's one ha'ara, and the second ha'ara is so it sounds like again from our Gemara that you could use wine only nowadays. In the Gemara was clear that you could use wine those days, and the second ha'ara is in. Even nowadays, according to the Paiskim, you could use Basar too. The only difference is that in the Zman HaBeis HaMikdash, it had to be Dafka Basar or Karbon, and nowadays it could be any Basar. For Mar Gemara, it would be Mashma that you can't use Basar, the Zman HaZeh at all. Which the Paiskim again discussed, because the way it's brought down in Hilchos Yom Tov is that nowadays you could use Basar. And the other Abba, it's more cooler that nowadays you could use any Basar. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Said Rabbi Yitzchak, Kasta de Marisa, the kli that they used to use to measure Murius, which is fish brine, the halab tzipari that was in tzipari, he havas kemin luga de mikdasha, that was the same size as a lug in the Beis HaMikdash, ubamishar revias shel pesach, and that's what you use to measure a revias on pesach, meaning coming to shirim. We know, based on the previous gemaras, that the shear of each kais has to be a minimum of revias. So how do you know what size a revias is? So you take this cast of the marisa, this pitcher, or this vessel that they put the marius, the fish brine into, the one from Tzipari, and that is the size of a lug. Now revias means a quarter of a lug, so there's obviously, if it's a quarter of a lug, that means there's four revias in a lug. So you take this keli, which is the size of a lug, you split it into four equal parts. Each one of them is going to be a revias. Uba mishayim revias shel Pesach. That's what you use to measure the revias of Pesach for the dalek kaisis. Or Rabbi Yochanan gave in his place a different way to measure it out. Tamnisa kadmaisa, the original tamnisa, which was the name of a certain measurement. The halab b'tveria that used to be in Tveria, havi yaseir al da, is larger than the current measurement, meaning the government or whoever did it changed the size of the measurement, so the discrepancy, the difference between the original one and the current one is a raviz. And that's what you use to figure out how large raviz is for Pesach. Meaning, if we know that the difference between the two is a raviz, exactly, so what you do is you fill the larger one, and then you pour off water into the smaller one until it's full. The amount that's going to be left in the larger one is going to be a raviz, so that's how you know what the shear of a raviz is, to know how to measure the dollar kaisis, what the shear of a raviz is for the dollar kaisis. Amar Rav Chisda, Revius Shel Torah, the Revius that you need Midaraisa, wherever it discusses Revius, whether it's for Tumah, like by Dam, or whether it's for other things, like by the Isser of another drinking Revius of wine, and wherever else you need a Revius, so how do you measure a Revius? Revius Shel Torah, Etzba'ayim al Etzba'ayim, Berum, Etzba'ayim v'chatzi Etzba v'chaymash Etzba. It's a little cube. The size of the cube is 2 fingers by 2 fingers. By the height of 2 fingers plus a half a finger plus a fifth of a finger. So if you want to say it in simple, it's 2.5 fingers plus a fifth of a finger. Or it would be, if you want to put it into a fraction, that should come out to 2.5 fingers, 5/10, a fifth of a finger is 2/10. So that which should come out to 2.7 fingers, 2.7 fingers. So it's 2 by 2 by 2.7. Now, Kidatanya. Now, where do you get this from? Now, how do we get to that 2 by 2 fingers by 2 fingers by 2.7 fingers? Comes out to the shear of a revius. Teretz is because we'll start from a large shear. And we're going to break it down until we get to how much revius is. Kedetanya, it says legabi amikvah, v'rochatz b'mayim is called besaray. A person whose tummy has to wash, go to the mikvah and wash his entire body in the water of the mikvah. So first of all, we'd learn from here v'rochatz b'mayim is called besaray, that his water has to that the water has to directly touch his flesh, which is the halach of chatzitza. Which teaches us there can't be any thing that's blocking, that's being chaitzitz between his basar and the maim. The water has to be able to touch his flesh. That teaches us there can't be any chatzitzis. Then it says ba maim with a patach.
Why does it need to teach this aspect about chatzitza?
Meaning, what would be the have a meaning without this drasha?
We're trying to find out a measurement, so why are we bringing in a chatzitza?
Why did the Gemara bring it down? Because the Gemara brought it down because the Brisa, we're quoting a Brisa, so a lot of times when you do this, we instead of cutting and pasting from the Brisa,
we
quote the entire Brisa, and the Brisa is dashing the Pasuk in order, because the Brisa sees all 3 drushes from this Pasuk. But you're right, only one is Nagia for us. Right, so Barakas B'mayim is called B'saray, Shalai Yedav HaChaytzah B'Misar HaMayim, there can't be any chatzitzes between the water and his flesh. Then it says b'mayim with a patach instead of b'mayim with a shva. So the in diktuk, the difference between a shva and a patach on a prefix is b' itself would just mean in. Ba, it's like it says b' is hey, or la is like it says lamed hey, so it adds the hey over there. It does mean in water, but rather in the water. So wherever it says the and it doesn't specify which the we're referring to, it means obviously the one that's obvious to us. So ba'mayim in the water, meaning the special water, which means to say b'mei mikvah. You can't use any water you want. It's the water that the Torah talked about before that you could use to be matar, which means it has to be dafka mei mikvah, not tap water, not mayim she'uvim. As kol b'saray ba'mayim, this is the part that's nagia to us. It says as kol b'saray. That means his entire flesh has to be washed at one time. Therefore, the mikveh has to be big enough. That it means ma'im shakol gufa ela behem has to be enough water in the mikveh to cover the entire body in one shot. Not that he bathes half of his body and then he comes out and bathes the other half of his body. The kamehain. So, how much water do you need to cover the entire body of an average person in one shot? Says the Gemara, Amo al amo, berum shalish amos. You need a pit or a hole that's an amo by an amo wide, and it's three amos deep. So if it's one amo by three amos, which is three cubic amos, that's the shear to fit a person. Now, even though a person is technically maybe a drop taller than that, according to what many Rishonim say, because the height of a person, Chazal say in many places, is three amos, and there's a shayla in the Rishonim if that's three amos to the shoulder or three amos to the top of the head. But even if you hold that it's three amos to the shoulder, the Rishonim nonetheless speak out, but that's if you're standing straight. But if you crouch, so this amount, if the water is three amas high and it's an amma by an amma wide, there will be enough that when you crouch, it will cover your entire body. An amma by an amma wide is not wide at all. It's enough to crouch a little bit. Obviously, you're not bending all the way down, but if an amma is, let's take the smaller measurement because it's harder to understand. But let's say if an amma is a foot by and a half long, so basically you have a tiny little hole that's a foot and a half by a foot and a half. Got to be skinny on a diet, and you got to like squeeze yourself in there. The minimum share of mikveh is tiny. But I don't know if you go to these archaeological digs or you go to even some old shuls that have like these like tiny minimum share of mikveh. A minimum share of mikveh is taka very small. So the shear is, says Chazal, amal amo berum shalish amos. One amo wide, one amo long, and the height of three amos. The shear of chachamim, and the chachamim mishar, shear may mikvah, that the shear, the amount of water that you need in a mikvah, is arbaim sa, is 40 sa. So now, we got the, we know the target, we know how that 40 sa is 3 cubic amos. So the rest is just plain simple arithmetic. If you take an amma by an amma by three ammas and say that that entire thing is 40 sa, so all you got to do is just break it down and you'll come out that a revius is 2 fingers by 2 fingers by 2.7 fingers. So how do you do so? So the Rishonim speak out. Taisa has a whole different mahalach how to do it, but the way the Rashbam and Rashi speak it out, what you do is you take first the height. The height of three amos, an amos is 6 tfachim, so that comes out is a total of 18 tfachim, 3 times 6. So you have an amma by 18 tfachim tall. Now you take the 18 tfachim and you split it into 16 parts. If you split it into 16 parts, so each one of those parts will be a tefach, and you'll have a remainder of 2 tfachim, and you divide that into 16, so a tefach is 4 fingers is 8, so a tefach is either 4 thumbs, which is 5 pointers, which is 6 pinkies, but over here we're talking about thumbs, the fingers that we're talking about over here. So so you have 16 tefachim plus 8 thumbs, 8 fingers. Eight fingers, you divide that into 16, is a half. So each, if you divide that into 16 parts, the 18 tefachim high, each one will be a tefach plus a half a finger. Now, this if you divided the height by 16, so you have to divide the volume by 16 as well. So you're going to divide 40 sa by 16. 16 times 2 is 32. You have a remainder of 8. So again, 8 by 16 is a half. So each new little box that we made, that's an amma by an amma, and it's a tefach and a half a finger high, is going to hold in it 2.5 sa. Okay, that's step one. Now, you take this box that we have that's a tefach plus a half a etzba tall, and you'll say how many fingers are in a tefach, like we said before, 4. So now how many fifths of a finger do you have in 4 fingers? Each finger has 5 fifths, so that's 20 fifths, plus a half a finger is 2.5 fifths. So you have 22.5 fifths of a finger in this box that we just measured. then take those 22 1/2 fifths and take 3/5 of them, meaning split into 5 equal parts, and take 3 out of the 5 of those equal parts. So 3/5 of 22 1/2 is going to come out to 13 1/2. Now, again, the same with if you split the height, you have to split the volume. So take 3/5 of, we said before, is 2 1/2. 3/5 of 2 1/2 is 1 1/2. So now we have a box that's an amma by an amma by 13 1/2 fifths. And that's going to end up being a star and a half. Next step, 13 1/2 fifths is 2 fingers. That's 10 fifths. Then, 1 second. Right. Yeah. So, right. So, 13 1/2 fifths is 2 fingers. Then you're left with 3 1/2 fifths. So, like we said before, 2 1/2 fifths is 1/2 finger. So that's 2 1/2 fingers. And then you have 1/5 left over. So that's what we said before. It's 2 1/2 fingers plus a 1/5 of a finger, which is 2.7 fingers. So now the height is beautiful. You have something that's 2.7 fingers high. That's an amma by an amma wide, and it fits 1 1/2 sa. So now all we have to do is split the length and the width. So we said before it's an amma by an amma. An amma by an amma. We said each amma is 6 tefachim. So that means it's 6 tefachim by 6 tefachim, which is 36 cubic tefachim, 6 by 6. Now it happens to be we said it's a saw and a half. A saw and a half, if you want to split it by 36, so just to do the math simply, each saw is 6 kav, and each kav is 4 log, means each saw is 24 log. So a saw and a half is 36 log. So it's beautiful. You have 36 cubic tefachim for 36 log, so each cubic tefach is a log. So, and now you take each cubic tefach and divide it by 4, so each one will be a quarter of a log. Very simple. So, a revius is exactly a quarter of a cubic tefach that is a wide tefach, long tefach, and 2.7 fingers high. Now we just have to figure out what's a quarter of a square tefach. What size square is a quarter of a tefach? So like we said before, each tefach has 4 fingers. So it's 4 fingers by 4 fingers. So if you split it into 4 equal squares, each one will be 2 fingers by 2 fingers. So now we have it beautifully. In case we didn't get lost yet, that it's 2 fingers by 2 fingers. That by 2.7 fingers is a revius. So based on the shear of a mikveh, which we know is 40 saw, you just divide it down into small little parts, and it will come out that each revius occupies the volume of 2 fingers by 2 fingers by 2.7 fingers. Now here is where all the tshuvas in the Achrenim were written, because we have a stira in their two ways to measure. Without going through all the possible answers, but if there's one way the Chazal gave to measure based on tefachim, based on volume, and there's another way Chazal gave to measure based on eggs, because we know that each lug is 6 eggs. The problem is, if you take the average size eggs that Chazal talked about, that they say whenever it says an egg, it has to be the average size egg, it does not seem to go into this area of 2 fingers by 2 fingers by 2.7 fingers. So something has to give. So the question is how to reconcile that. So that's where all the different mahalchim came from. Maybe the fingers that we're using were different size than the fingers that Chazal used, or maybe on the opposite side, the eggs that we're using are different than the eggs that Chazal used, but something has to be adjusted, and based on how you adjust it, that's where all the different machleks and of all the shiurim come from, what size an amma is, and what size a revius is, v'chulu, it's all based on how to be miyashiv this stira, so to say, between the way to measure based on eggs to the way to measure based on fingers, but the cheshbin based on tfachim, but the cheshbin according to our Gemara, if you want to go based on tfachim, so a revir should occupy a square that's 2 fingers by 2 fingers by 2.7 fingers. Amr Ravashi says Ravashi, Amr li Ravim Bar Chinina. Ravim Bar Chinina told me Shulchan Shel Mikdash, the Shulchan that they had in the base of Mikdash, the one that they put the Lechem upon him on inside the Heichal, Shel Prakim Hava. Obviously, was made from separate pieces that it could be taken apart. The isalka daitach haduke have mahadik, because if it was all connected together, meaning it was one solid piece, amsa ba'amsa heche mitzvah. How were you able to title the shulchan? We know from the Gemara Chagiga's darshan's apostle, it says zeh hashulchan atar, ala shulchan atar, that the shulchan has to be tar. That means to say when the shulchan is tar, which means to say it's possible that the shulchan could be tameh. From there, Chazal derive that a shulchan is able to be mekabel tumah. If a shulchan is able to be mekabel tumah, when it becomes tummy, what are you going to have to do with it? Take it to the mikveh to be metaret. Now, if the size of a mikveh is 1 by 1 by 3, like we just got finished saying, so how are you going to fit the shulchan into a mikveh? You're going to take the shulchan, and which is exactly 1 across, and try to fit it into a hole that's 1 by 1. So you can't, if you want to fit something into a hole, the thing that you're trying to fit in has to be a drop smaller. Because otherwise it's going to be exact. You're going to have to smash it in. It's not going to be able to slide in and out. So if the mikveh is, the size of a mikveh is an amma by an amma, by the height of 3 ammas, so there's no way that the shochem, which is an amma, would be able to fit into the mikveh. Because amma ba'amsa hechi mitbala, how are you going to fit an amma into an amma? It has to be a drop smaller to be able, something that's the size of an amma to fit into a hole. The hole is either going to have to be a drop larger than an amma, or the thing that you're trying to fit in has to be a drop smaller than an amma. Now, for some reason, the Gemara is assuming that if this is the shear of a mikveh, so a mikveh that they would have in the base of Mikdash would have to be the exact size of the minimum size of a mikveh. It wouldn't be any bigger. Now, the simplest, obvious answer would be, you're right, the minimum shear of a mikveh is an amma by 3 ammas. Doesn't mean the amma can't be any bigger, so maybe the mikveh can't be any bigger. Our mikvahs are huge. So maybe the mikveh in the base of mikvahs would drop bigger, and then a chanami, there was room for the shulchan to fit. But for some reason, the Gemara doesn't want to say that. The Gemara is assuming that a mikveh in the base of mikdash was the size of a minimum mikveh, and therefore we have a problem, how you in the title of the shulchan. The only etza is that the shulchan came apart, and you could take it apart into separate pieces and do each piece at a time, so, and then it will fit into the mikveh. Others learned that when they titled the kelim in the base of mikdash, there wasn't a formal mikveh that was sitting there, but rather there was a canal, like we know from earlier in the Masechta, there was this stream of water that was running through the Azara. And since it was attached to a river and it was running through, so it was a natural mikveh. And it was called amas hamayim, like canals are throughout Chazal many times. And the reason why they were called amas hamayim is because they were an amma wide. So you're right, maybe an echanami, like I asked before, a mikveh doesn't, the minimum is an amma by an amma. Rather, you could make it bigger, but we happen to know that what they used in the base hamikdash to title kelim was the amas hamayim, and amas hamayim was exactly an amma wide. So how did the shulchan fit in? Must be that it was shel prakim. And that says the Gemara, my kushya. Who says that the shulchan was shel prakim, that it was from separate pieces that could come apart? Maybe an echanami, the shulchan was one big piece and you couldn't take it apart. You want to know how you tovel the shulchan if it became tamei? Maybe they toveled the shulchan whenever needed tefillah in the Yam Sharos HaShlemi. Shlemi made this large, in the Beis HaMikdash, this huge pool of water, of mikveh water, and the Gemara in Erevin goes through in great detail how large that pool was. But in short, the Tanya of Chia, Reb Chia has a brisa that Yam Shalzer Shlomo, the Yam that Shlomo made, Machse Meyav Hamisha Mikveh Tahara, was the size of 150 mikvahs, meaning a mikvah, like we said before, is 40 sa. So this was 150 times 40 sa. So if it was 150 times 40, obviously it was, by dimensions, much larger than 1 by 1 by 3. So if you want to know where you fit the shulchan, they took it to the Yam Shalzer Shlomo. The Yam Shalzer Shlomo was huge, and there was no problem putting the shulchan there. So you have no right that the shulchan was made out of separate pieces. Maybe the shulchan was one solid piece. And Afa Pekin, you want to know where they titled it? They titled it in the Yam Shalzer Shlomo. Going back to the Mishnah says, La Yifchasu Le Me'arba Kaisis, even an Ani Shav Yisrael, who's being supported by the Tamchoy, the poorest of the poor, nonetheless he can't have less than Dalad Kaisis. Why? Because there's a chiyuv at night, of the night of Pesach, to have Dalad Kaisis. Like we explained before in the beginning of the parak, most say it's connected that Dalad the Shainis of Gulu, there's a few other Pshatim, what it's connected, but that's the common Pshat that everybody knows and says over it, it's connected to Arba the Shainis of Gulu. So, therefore, Chazal were misakin to drink dafka 4 kaisis the night of Pesach. How could it be that the Rabbanon were misakin something, established a chiyuv, the Asi Beli de Sakana that comes to Sakana? I mean, we know that this is the beginning of the sugya that the Gemara is going to spend some time on. There's a concept called zugais. If someone eats pears and or an even number of things, it could chas v'shalom bring him to Sakana. And the sakana from the mazikim from Shindalids, and therefore, how could Chazal go ahead and establish lechatchila to drink 4 kaisis, which is zugais, it's an even number, if that could lead to sakana? And even though we're going to see in the Gemara over the next couple of days that there are certain numbers that are past the point that zugais can make a difference again, meaning we don't go even numbers forever, there's a certain point that zugais doesn't affect anymore. However, there's more than one chash of zugais. There's one chash of mazikin, like we just mentioned before, but there's another chash also that it could lead to kishuf. That means, like we know, like many times we saw this in brachas and Shabbos and other places, there's certain hanhagas that a person could do that if he does them, it makes him more susceptible to be harmed by kishuf. So even past the point that zugais is not going to be any more vulnerable from mazikim, but it's still possible that it's vulnerable from kishuf. So the Rishonim say that even if, according to the shitas that we'll have later on, that maybe 4 is not a problem of zugais anymore, maybe dafka 2 is a problem of zugais, legabi mazikim are concerned, and maybe 4 is already not a problem. However, it's zikr, according to everybody, 4 a problem that it's that he's vulnerable to kishuf. And if that's the case, how did Chazal go lechatchila and be misakin something that could lead a person to a sakana? Didn't we learn in a brisa, lo yechal adam trei, a person shouldn't eat 2 of something, lo yishah trei, or drink 2 of something, lo yekaneach trei, or a person shouldn't, when he's wiping himself, cleaning himself, he shouldn't do it 2 times, because all these things are zugais. Lo yaset shochal trei, or a person with his wife, being mishamish his mita, he shouldn't do 2 biyos, again, because it's zugais. And all these things, if he does 2, he's susceptible to being damaged. So Hakach Chazal be misakin 2 pairs of kaisis, that it should be 4 kaisis, which is zugais. So Gemara gives 3 tutsim. Amar of Nachman, Amar Kra, says of Nachman, because it says in the Pasuk, Leol Shimurim, that the night of Pesach is Leol Shimurim, Leol Mashumim Abom and Amazikim. It's a night that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a special Shemir for Mazikim. So you're right, the rest of the year, someone who drink 4 kaisis could get damaged. But on the night of Pesach, it's Leol Shimurim, the Mazikim can't do anything to him. Mele, the Chazal had no problem being Mazakin 4 kaisis. Rava Omar, Rava says, Kaisha Bracha, Mitzaref L'Tayyub, and Mitzaref L'Ra. The kais of bracha could only, because it's a kais of bracha, so therefore it can only be mitzaref l'toyv and not l'ra. We're going to have in the coming sugyas many times like that, that there's certain things that could only be mitzvah for the benefit and not for the bad, which means to say, if he's currently holding now by an even number, this will be mitzvah to help him out that it should end by an odd number, meaning let's say a person drank two kaises, and the kais shabracha is the third kais, so it will be mitzvah that he has a total of three, and therefore he doesn't have zugais. But however, ain't a mitzvah of the raw. It's not going to be mitzvah to his detriment against him. So if he's currently holding by three and the kosher bracha is the fourth, it's not going to work against him to say that now he has zugis and he's going to be damaged. So the kosher bracha, because it's a kosher bracha and because of it's used for a mitzvah, therefore, and it's a kosher bracha, it has all the milas for it, so therefore that one has a special shmir on it. It's only mitzvah of the taiva where you need it to get you out of zugais, but it's not mitzvah of the raw to get you into zugais. So over here, you have four cups total. One of them is a kosher bracha, the kosher bracha is a muslim, so that one won't count, so you're left with three, so there's no zugais. Ravina Amar, Ravina says, Arba kasi takinu rabbanon. Derecheres. The Rabbanon were misakin that throughout the meal there's four kaises that have to be drunk, derecheres. However, kol chad v'chad mitzvah ampinav shehu. Each one is a mitzvah by itself. Meaning, we thought that there's a din of drinking arba kaises. So you drink a set of four kaises. If that's the case, there was a set that zugais, there was a problem of zugais. And that says Ravina, that's not the case. The Rabbanon made four separate arkanas for four separate mitzvahs. And each one is an independent cheshbon. It's not together a cheshbon of four. There's a chiyuv of a kais by kiddush. There's a chiyuv of a kais by haggadah. There's a chiyuv of a kais by berakas hamazon. There's a chiyuv of a kais by hal. So Enochanami in total, he drank four kaises, but it was four separate times, four separate cheshbonis. They don't combine bechlal, and therefore it's not zugas. I mean, it's an obvious thing, right? If somebody drinks a cup of water in the morning and then he drinks another cup of water in the afternoon, that they're not going to combine. It means two. In one sitting, or in one, however else they're going to combine, like we'll see later on, in one time, if he drinks two together, then it's a problem of zugais. But in two separate times, he has one cup plus one cup, then it's not going to be a problem of zugais. So since the takan over here was four separate takanas on four separate mitzvahs, it's not one takana to drink four kaises, it's four separate takanas on four separate mitzvahs, so there's no hemshech between one and the other. They're not mitzvah from the first place, and therefore it's not a problem of zugais. He had four times one kais, not one time four kaises, and therefore it's not a problem of zugais. Okay.